Hello Moto, it's Icon calling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Billionaire corporate raider Carl Icahn is trying to shake things up at Motorola, the number two maker of cell phones. Later today, shareholders get their say on whether Icahn gets to do his bidding from the boardroom. Marketplace's Jill Barshay reports.
Shareholders are meeting in Chicago this afternoon to vote for a board of directors. Motorola wants to keep the current board. Carl Icahn is upset with the company's performance and wants a seat for himself. Icahn is a shareholder activist who invests in troubled companies, then demands a seat on the board and agitates for change. He zeroed in on Motorola because its cell phone business is failing and it has a lot of cash on hand. Icahn wants to fire the CEO if things don't turn around. Dan Raviv is a CBS reporter who wrote a book about Icahn's failed bid for Marvel Comics.
He reads everything. You can't hide anything in your corporate balance sheet. Carl Icahn and his team, you know, will unearth it, will dig it out.
Motorola says Icahn is unqualified and doesn't know anything about technology. Observers say the vote could go either way. In Los Angeles, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Government regulators are asking questions about the bid from Rupert Murdoch's News Corp for the parent company of the Wall Street Journal. They're checking into increased trading in the Dow Jones company just before the offer was made public. The Wall Street Journal reported over the weekend the Securities and Exchange Commission and New York's Attorney General have sent subpoenas to both Dow Jones and News Corp, and both are pledging to cooperate with investigators. Big movement in stocks so far today has been a big rally in Asia, led by a 1.5% gain in Tokyo's Nikkei. Overall, European stocks are having a lackluster day. The Dow will be kicking off the new week from its new pinnacle of 13,264. The Nasdaq opens at 2572. The S&P 500 begins at 1505. A major British defense firm is increasing its presence here in the U.S. BAE Systems is buying the American defense contractor Armor Holdings. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from London.
The deal, which is said to be in its final stages, values Armor Holdings at $3.5 billion. The company supplies, among other things, special armor for the Humvee. Business has boomed since the invasion of Iraq. Armor Holdings' share price was under $10 in March 2003. Today, BAE is offering around $88 a share. For the British company, the acquisition is part of a strategy to play down its origins and turn itself into more of an American corporation. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment.
If you want to be able to be big in the defense industry, you've got to be in the United States and the growing defense demand over there with the requirements for the Iraq campaign.
With Armor Holdings, BAE could be well-placed to win contracts when the Army replaces thousands of Humvees and orders a new generation of mine-resistant troop carriers. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Come into my theater, said the spider to the filmgoer, and fill the movieplexes they did all around the world this weekend for the blockbuster opening of Spider-Man 3. Lately, the big studios have turned to global premieres to get the jump on piracy, and that all adds up to a record opening of $373 million in ticket sales worldwide for Sony Pictures' latest Spider-Man sequel. You can break it down into numbers even easier to understand. More than 4 out of every 5 people who went to the movies on the planet this past weekend went to see Spider-Man 3.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Earlier this year, New York City signed a novel deal with 20 elite private schools. The schools would pay more than $52 million over the next 20 years to help revitalize Randall's Island, a decrepit park on an island in the East River. In exchange, the schools have first dibs for prime time on most of the island's ball fields, weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. Proponents of the deal say it's a model for public-private partnership that'll benefit all city kids. Critics say the deal has shut out low-income kids from the neighborhood that would most benefit from the outdoor space. Elisa Roth has more.
Edwin Rodriguez is a junior at a public high school in the South Bronx. He plays second base and is the unofficial spokesman for the school's baseball team, the Cyclones. The team practiced on Randall's Island last year, and it's still waiting to hear about a permit to use the park again. Rodriguez worries the city's agreement will shut his team out of Randall's Island this year. For now, they're practicing on a scruffy field in the South Bronx.
I feel like, you know, they're pushing us out just so, you know, the students that already got the upper hand, you understand, who probably have better stuff at their school, have a team already, you know, have their uniforms, are in a league, they're not giving us a chance.
Not so, says Richard Davis, head of the Randall's Island Sports Foundation, the organization that came up with the deal to fix up the island.
It was always, always critical that we demonstrate that there will be increased and meaningfully increased usage for public schools during this week and for everybody else on the weekends in the summer.
Davis says public schools will ultimately benefit at least as much as private ones, since the project will up the total number of usable fields on the island. But Marina Ortiz doesn't buy it. She's a community activist in East Harlem, a neighborhood she and other opponents of the deal say isn't getting an equal shot at using the island's fields.
They make no effort to outreach and provide information to East Harlem organizations on the permitting process, for example, on letting people know that there are baseball and other fields available for weekend, after school, summer use.
Ortiz wonders why city schools weren't offered a chance to get in on the public-private partnership. She says her community could have raised the money private schools are paying to refurbish the fields. Davis disagrees. He says that without an obvious constituency of wealthy neighbors, raising money for Randall's Island has been a hard sell. And this is the only solution that could work. He thinks these kinds of deals are a model for the future of parks funding in the city. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Take our podcast with you. You can find out all about it at marketplace.org. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.